The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
When you hear that song on Main Street, it can mean only one thing, that our resident movie expert, movie reviewer, Matt Olien, is here. Matt, thanks for dropping by.
You bet.
You have seen a couple of films. You want to start with Shape of Water?
Yeah, Shape of Water, currently in wide release. And this just got 13 Oscar nominations. So I think clearly, Ashley, it is the front runner. Although La La Land got 14 nominations last year and did not win Best Picture, although it won for like a minute stage. So I think, but I think Shape of Water has all the momentum. This is a very, very good film. Guillermo del Toro, Mexican director who from Pan's Labyrinth fame, he is bidding to become the third Mexican director to win this award, the directing award, in the last 5 years. His friends Alfonso Cuarón and Alejandro Iñárritu have recently won as well. And I think he's got a good chance. Now, this is about a monster that's discovered in the Amazon in the early 60s. He's held at a top secret government location on the East Coast in the early 60s. And two cleaning women, played by Sally Hawkins and Octavia Spencer, both Oscar nominated, kind of happen on to this and realize that there is something being held top secret. And as you've seen from the previews, Sally Hawkins develops a very special relationship with the monster. Now, this may seem creepy, kind of back to Beauty and the Beast territory, interspecies love affair. But in Del Toro's hands, it all comes off as charming. And the film is wonderfully done. The production design is great. The period feel is great. Sally Hawkins is mute in the film. She does not speak, but again, she speaks with her eyes. She's such a good actress. Richard Jenkins plays her next-door neighbor. He is a key part of this film as well, and he got a supporting actor nomination. He's very good in this film. Like this film a lot. I don't know if it's a great film, but it certainly has captured the public's fancy at this point, and I think there's a lot to say here. And I think one of the big things that makes this film work is Del Toro's choice to not CGI the monster. His friend Doug Jones, who has been an attendee at the Fargo Film Festival in the past, he typically plays monsters. He is very good at playing kind of alien beings, and he is in a uniform. He's in makeup in this performance. I think if they would have went with CGI, the realism would have been lost. And so because Doug Jones is such a good actor, he conveys this emotion to Sally Hawkins, and you get the feeling that they are connecting as a human being and whatever he is. So that's a testament to Del Toro to not do the hip thing, the modern thing, which is CGI, which can be overdone to death, as you know, Ashley.
Sure.
And I think that really helps make this film. I did feel there were a couple too many subplots going on, especially with the Michael Shannon character and his home life. He plays the kind of evil guy who wants to tear the monster apart and find out what it's made of. And of course, there's scientists and people that don't want that to happen. Kind of a tribute to old monster movies.
Well, it's curious to me that you've used a phrase that this can be sort of figuring out what it is, and it's got a lot to say as a film, and then also using the word monster because, you know, the trailer, mm-hmm. and obviously you've seen the film, I've only seen the trailer, starts out, you very much don't think of that character as a monster, or at least I didn't. And then as the trailer goes on, I don't know, you're
right.
Not so sure. And so that's, I assume, very much what the film is trying to say is monster is sort of like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, clearly it's not a human, but mm-hmm. what is it? And that's really the mystery of the film. And the mystery is Sally Hawkins is able to communicate with it, mm-hmm. whereas the other people don't try to communicate with it. The generals are brought in. And a lot of these 50s and 60s science fiction films were very much like this, where the military wants to destroy. And there's always a very intelligent scientist that says, no, we must learn about this creature. So that's it's really a testament to that. Del Toro loves those old kind of films. And it's really a testament, I think, to those old films and a testament to understanding people and beings that are not like us. So like the film a lot. I don't know if I loved it to the point where I think it's a great film, but it's capturing the public's fancy. It's making a lot of money, and I think clearly this is now the front runner to win Best Picture. Let me also point out, Ashley, if The Shape of Water wins Best Picture, we are in uncharted territory because no film like this has ever won the Oscar for Best Picture. This would be like if Frankenstein would have gotten Best Picture in 1931 or Freaks would have gotten Best Picture in 1932. It never would have happened. This is not the typical film, but in September, I remember I did predict on this show it would get a Best Picture nomination. It just had such good buzz around it.
A couple of scenes in the trailer reminded me a little of the director Jean-Pierre Jeunet in some of the French films that he's done, Amelie and Delicatessen, where they repeat these sequences of details that everybody else ignores.
Yes.
I just love that. We've seen another film, Call Me By Your Name.
I actually like this one a little bit better than Shape of Water. This is based on a novel about a young boy in Italy, 1983, played by Timothy Chalamet, Oscar nominee this year. And his father is a professor. He's doing some research in Italy. And he has a research assistant who arrives, played by Armie Hammer. And he's a little older than the boy. The boy's like 17 in the film. Armie Hammer's character, you figure, is about 24 or 25. And they develop this attraction to each other. So there's some controversial territory here. But it's really a story of first love. And it kind of reminded me of the male version of Blue is the Warmest Color, which was a French film 4 years ago about two young French women who start a love affair. But of course, it can never be. And this film has lovely settings set in Italy. The cinematography is great. The director, Luca Guadagnino, is very good at this kind of film. If you saw Bigger Splash, which is a film he made a couple years ago, also set right around Italy. What he does so well in this film, Ashley, is these moments of awkwardness between Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer. A lot of it is not said, but we've all been in those positions where you like someone and you're not sure if they like you.
And
it's so hard to put on film, but he manages to do it. We see the awkwardness. Is he attracted to me, or is he attracted only to women, and vice versa? What's going on there? And the two actors play it so well. The film is very leisurely paced because he lets the camera focus on the actors' faces for a long time. Some of these scenes go on for quite a while where they're kind of doing this flirting game with each other. And so the film, maybe people might think it's too long. I think they could have shaved 10 minutes. I've heard some people say the film was boring. Even some critics say it's boring. I don't think it is. I think it's a lovely film. It's well done. There are a couple scenes in the third act of the film that really linger in the mind. I don't want to give those away. One involves Michael Stuhlbarg, who's a wonderful actor who's also in The Shape of Water as one of the scientists. He plays the father of Timothy Chalamet, and he has a tremendous scene. It's gut-wrenching. It's heart-wrenching is what it is. And Guadagnino really trusts his actors and trusts the audience to go with the flow of this film. It's not a typically paced film that your people might be used to. But if you have any interest in human emotions and first love and things that maybe did not work out, I think this is a film that will be well worth seeing. It's up for Best Picture and some other nominations as well. One of my top five films of the year, I would say.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, you have brought a nice long list with you of some of the Oscar nominations that are officially out. Anything surprise you?
A couple surprises. There's 9 Best Picture nominees. I don't know if they're all worthy of Best Picture nominations. I don't think Darkest Hour, for example, is a Best Picture type film, although Gary Oldman is tremendous in the film. I don't think 2017 was a great year for films, Ashley. I really don't. I think there were some good films like The Big Sick that were left out. I don't know if there's a Moonlight or a La La Land in this year's group that really are films that people will talk about in 10 years' time. I do think Shape of Water is clearly the favorite amongst these Best Picture nominations. I'll give you one surprise. It was thought Martin McDonagh would get a directing nomination for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. He did not. And Paul Thomas Anderson got it for Phantom Thread. The only Best Picture nominee I have not seen yet is Phantom Thread. That's a testament, I think, to the director's branch admiring Paul Thomas Anderson. And maybe some of this 3 Billboards is overrated talk, which I am totally on board with. I thought it was the most overrated film of the year, is going to doom some of its chances for Best Picture. James Franco, not nominated for The Disaster Artist as Tommy Wiseau. This was thought to be a lock. He's very good in the film. But as you know, Ashley, there are some reports out there of some misbehavior on sets with James Franco. I'm not here to say what happened or did not happen, but they're out there, and I think they probably doomed his chances. Daniel Kaluuya was kind of a surprise nomination for Get Out in Best Lead Actor, and Denzel Washington got his 8th acting nomination. Daniel Day-Lewis is in there. I think the Best Actress race is very competitive, maybe more competitive than the lead actor race this year. The supporting parts are all really interesting performances as well, and I think that's going to come down to Sam Rockwell versus Willem Dafoe for supporting actor, and maybe Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird versus Allison Janney in I, Tonya in supporting actress.
Well, it is going to be a busy mm-hmm. award season.
Yep.
All right, I have got a question about Oscar trivia.
Okay.
What 6 performers have received multiple Oscar nominations for playing the same character in different films? That was a lot
okay.
of details there.
Al Pacino in Godfather 1 and 2 as Michael
yes.
Corleone. Paul
yep.
Newman twice as Fast Eddie Felsen in The Hustler and The Color of Money.
Okay.
Peter
yep.
O'Toole as King Henry II in Beckett and The Lion in Winter.
Okay.
Kate Blanchett twice as Queen Elizabeth in
She's so
Elizabeth
good.
And yes, she is Elizabeth okay. and then Elizabeth the Golden Age, right? That's
mm-hmm.
the name of the sequel.
Yep.
Bing Crosby as Father O'Malley in The Bells of St. Mary's and Going My Way. And I know I'm not going to get the 6th one, am I?
It's
man
a
or woman?
Boxer.
Sylvester Stallone in Rocky and Creed.
Yep, there you go. All right, we've been in the movies with Madeline.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.